Hello and welcome to this week's edition of the Rooster Crows podcast. My name is Tyler Campbell, and today we'll be hearing a live sermon by Reverend Roberta Howie, recorded from the Lawrence Park Church Sanctuary on a Sunday morning. Today's sermon is titled, The Problems of Prophets.
The reading this week from Jeremiah is a bit of a struggle, I'm going to be honest. I remember doing my paper on this one in seminary and realizing that this is a difficult book to get through. If you need a visual of Jeremiah for, and frankly, almost all of the prophets in Hebrew scripture, I want you to picture the last time you watched a disaster movie. The meteorite was crashing, or the earth stopped spinning, or robots or aliens. More importantly, at the beginning of the movie, there's almost always a point where a scientist or a researcher bursts into the White House, holding a bunch of papers in their hand, waving it wildly. The thing is happening. You need to help. You need to fix this. And the fictional, sensible president says, "Well, I hear you, but I have an election next week, and I have my shareholders to think of, and I have the lobbyists, and frankly, I have to think about how I'm going to be here next term, so no, we're not going to listen to you." And that poor researcher is dragged kicking and screaming out by the Secret Service and dumped on the front lawn, and then the thing happens, the disaster that they were warned about, and all the scientist can do is look in pity. Why didn't they listen? That is Jeremiah, in a nutshell. The prophet books are not the way for us to learn how to be good people. There's other places in the Bible for that. We have Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount. We have the book of Proverbs. We have many letters from Paul telling us how to be a good church and get along. It's also not really an origin story. We have other origin stories. We have Genesis. We have the early stories of Jesus and his arrival. The prophets are there as crisis managers to tell the king when something has gone wrong. And yes, all the prophets talk to a king. If it was a queen, maybe a different ending. I don't know. I didn't write it. But the prophets all lived in a world that either had been given a very big kick or was about to get one. And that feels very familiar to a lot of us. The important part of being a prophet is that it's a job no one wants. The more someone wants to be a prophet, the less I take them seriously. To be a prophet means that God has asked you to be willing to go to the kingdom, to the nation, to the people, and say, "You have messed up, and so we're all going to suffer." Or an alternative, after decades of suffering, a prophet comes by and says, "We're going to keep suffering for a little bit, but there's a reason for it, and then we're all going to be fine at the end." Frankly, no one wants to hear either of those. No king wants to be told that they need to repent. No monarch wants to be ordered to be patient and then things might turn around. If my job was to go up and tell the king that they did a fantastic job, all is perfect, their name will be etched in glory, I am not a prophet, I'm a sycophant. I'm a yes man or yes person. That's not the job. A prophet in Hebrew texts will be called by God to tell everyone to change their ways or to brace for impact. God calls them when things are going terribly, terribly wrong. This is not unusual. God has spoken to many people in Scripture. Moses, Noah, Jonah. You might notice all of them had a period of running away from God and saying, I don't want to do the thing, and God saying, the thing's happening whether you're doing it or not. God speaks through Jesus to the people to say that not even death will defeat me. So there's precedent. But a prophet is tough to spot. Unfortunately, for almost all of our prophets, the only way they know that their prophecy came true is after they're dead for many, many years. So either they were wrong or horribly misinterpreted or a false prophet, and we can all say, ha, weren't they foolish? Or they were right, and now we have egg on our face. Not everyone got to be, you know, Joseph with a large coat that got to be the right-hand man of Pharaoh. Predictions and prophecies are difficult at best. Ask any person who needs to predict the weather in the next 2 weeks. But for a prophet, it's slightly different. Usually it's this: God calls the prophet to speak to the people, and the prophet immediately says, no, not me. Literally anybody else. I am begging you. Anyone else. And God says, look, I chose you. So you can argue, or you can go, but you're doing it. And I'm going with you. Don't worry. I'll keep you safe. And then the prophet goes off to tell the others what God wants them to know. And the reactions, if you pardon the pun, are predictable. Jeremiah was tasked by God around 620 to 580 BCE to tell the people of the kingdom of Israel that they lost God's blessing. They had practiced idolatry. God had one very important rule amongst, let's be honest, 600 other rules, but the biggie was worship no other gods above this one, Elohim, the great I am. And they worshiped other gods. So God said, this contract, this covenant is a two-way street. If you drop your end, I'm going to drop mine. And I'm not going to actively hurt you. I'm just going to stop saving you. You're on your own. This is a very harsh idea of God, I know. And frankly, it's one that when I do get up there, I'm going to have some questions for God about how this came about. But that, unfortunately, will have to wait. So they worshiped other gods, they did other sins, and now Jeremiah has to tell them that God is canceling the covenant, voiding the contract, saying, we'll try again later. His message, as you might expect, is not liked. Even though they heard him, they also feared what he had to say. Keep in mind, he is just the messenger. He did literally nothing. But he is telling people to repent before it's too late. Other priests and political rivals plotted to assassinate him multiple times. He was chased out of town far more often than he was welcomed into it. And King Zedekiah, in the way that Jeremiah is most famous for, allowed his soldiers to throw Jeremiah into a cistern because he made the soldiers a little bit too uneasy. Much like our sci-fi story, the researcher, the scientist is mocked, feared, ignored, fired, threatened with jail. His warnings went unheeded, and Israel fell under Babylonian rule. Jeremiah told five kings that they would have to endure this. And for five kings, they all told him to go away. All of this to say that Jeremiah could not predict that this would happen to him, but he was not ignorant. He was a young man, but a scholar. He knew what other prophets had experienced. He knew the stories, and he definitely wanted anyone else to take this job, hoping and praying that God was actually talking to the person behind him. He said, no, not me. I'm too young. I can't even speak. Please talk to anyone else. God didn't relent. God reminded Jeremiah that God will be with him and touched Jeremiah's lips with a finger. one of the rare times in Scripture that we hear of God physically touching someone, and frankly, that person not bursting into flames. That was how important it was for God to get this message to the people. Repent before it's too late. Jeremiah, I think, would have argued if he was being protected while being thrown into a cistern, but he did live a long life. God was with him the entire time, struggling, suffering with his people. God was present, always asking, "Why won't you listen?" Some do listen. Some try. It's not completely hopeless. Even now, in our day and age, there are reminders of God's ability to call people, to say the hard truth, that not everything is going to be easy, that sometimes it takes work. It's one that I think many of us here have listened to very frequently. I could share story after story of scientists coming up and talking about climate change, of activists coming up and talking about civil rights. As we slowly emerge and look for that change and come together, we have done that many, many times. It's also important for us to remember that those early researchers, those activists, those voices in the wilderness, they're not always well received. When MLK Jr. preached and fought for activism, he was labeled by many a terrorist. When Greta Thunberg was going around and telling everyone that climate change is a serious issue and she wants to be able to live in a future that is not destroyed by our present need for greed and profit, she was labeled as well a rabble-rouser, a terrorist. Other words I cannot say up here, but rest assured they have been called by every name under the sun. No one should want this job. It's a thankless one. And yet people still do it. People are still called to it. Even though they know it's difficult, they know that they face being arrested, they face being killed. There's always someone that's willing to stand up and say, "This is not right. This needs to be changed. We need to love each other." That is a beautiful calling, a hard one, and one that not everyone is going to find. Frankly, I don't know if I have the stomach for it. Not because I don't love, but because I am human. It is much easier to come up here and tell you all that you're doing your best and wonderful than it is to spend an hour telling you how horrible everyone in the world is. One is much easier to say on a Sunday morning than the other. We listen to people who claim to know the future all the time. We listen to people who want to be prophets so badly, not because they're speaking God's truth, but because they know of God's power. They know of greed. They know of money and voting, and they say, "All you have to do is listen to me with your time, with your donation, with your ballot, and I will make the world a better place." And just as often, we hear the voice of people who say, "We must work together. We must take compassion for each other above everything else." And they listen to creation, just as we do. It may not be the voice of God touching our lips and saying, "Go speak," but it is the voice of God spoken through creation. When they write poetry that cuts to the core, when they bring scientific findings about the tiniest microbes in the bottom of the sea or the smallest stars that were born and died before we even knew that they existed, when they dig through historical fact and fiction to bring us new figures enriched with personality and story, when they listen to people of all backgrounds, from the mightiest of mighty that will have a Wikipedia bio about them to the smallest ones that won't even have a piece of paper with their name on it. They listen and they share those stories, and when we listen and share, we are connecting to that inner voice of love. The one message that is spoken to us all, one voice that cuts through the noise of offering security while sacrificing compassion, the voice that says, "I am God. This world is mine. I carved it from nothing but starlight and time. You are my children, stewards here. Take care of it. Take care of each other. I'll be with you forever and always, even beyond death. Nothing will stop my love." It is a tough job. A prophet is a tough calling. I pray the next time that our own Jeremiah comes into town with their own research papers, with their own poetry that cuts to the core, with their own handshake to reach out and touch someone with love, I pray that I have the courage to listen. I pray I have the courage to not chase them out. And I pray that I have the compassion to listen to what they are saying on behalf of God. Amen.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of the Rooster Crows podcast. We at Lawrence Park Community Church are a progressive church in North Toronto. If you'd like to learn more about our church and the things that we do, check our YouTube channel, which has recordings of entire services and sermons. And for any more details, go to our website at lawrenceparkchurch.ca. As we finish this podcast, we're going to hear from our music director, Dr. Daniel Rubinoff, perform Summertime. We hope you enjoy and have a wonderful week.